baptism is a public profession of a personal internal conversion, and we're here today to celebrate the goodness and grace of God through the work and person of Jesus Christ. And baptism is an important part of a Christian's life, and it's a significant part of the church's life. And so we here at the Well Community Church, we're going to celebrate here today. And we're excited that you're here with us. If you're new and this is your first time here, welcome. We're glad that you're a part of what's going on. My name is Chris, and I serve as the campus pastor here in the AM services. And we're looking forward to hearing what God has done in the lives of his people. Now, if you've been at the Well for a while, you know that typically we're going to commit ourselves to teaching the text. We're going to open up our Bible, and we're going to communicate it. And as we teach the Word of God, we're going to proclaim the gospel, the good news that God has reconciled a broken and sinful world to himself through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And we're going to do that every single week, and we want to proclaim that gospel. Here this morning, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're not going to open up our Bible, but instead, we're going to let people proclaim the gospel. We're going to let people come up and share their testimony of what God has done to save them. And they're going to do that in front of all of you. And I'm super excited about this opportunity that we have here today. We're going to do that here over at our Fig Garden campuses this morning. That's going on in our Southeast campus in the evening. And then back here in our PM services here at North. And it's going to be a good time. This morning, we have 11 people. Boys and girls, adults, young and old, from all walks of life who are going to publicly proclaim their faith in Jesus Christ. And baptism paints this beautiful picture of Christ's death and his resurrection and our union to him in faith. And it's a visual decoration of somebody who recognized their sinful nature and they turn to Christ's atoning work in faith, and that saved them. Now, just so we know here, the word baptism comes from a Greek word called baptizo, right? And it's kind of a transliteration of the word, and it means to dip, to dunk, or to plunge. It's the idea that you would immerse something in water or some sort of liquid. And so as you read through your Bible, you recognize that in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament, as people were baptized, they literally, their entire body would be dunked underneath the water and then it'd come out of it. And because of that sort of biblical understanding of everything, that's one of the reasons why you're going to see for us, we believe in immersion baptism, which means you're going to see people go all the way under and then come all the way up. And so that's part of how we do things here at the Well. People ask all the time, why do we baptize? Like, what's the point of it? What is it pointing to? What's the significance of it? And I think as I search the scriptures, I come up with a couple primary reasons why we baptize people. And number one is because Jesus commanded it. In Matthew 28, as Jesus is giving his marching orders to his disciples, he's sending them out to all the ends of the earth. He says to them, he says, go and make disciples. And baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teach them all that I have commanded you. So Jesus himself is reminding us that this is an imperative command that we baptize people who have placed their faith in Jesus. And so the early church, which was made up of those disciples who were there when he said those words, they carried out that command. What typically would happen is somebody would confess their sins, they would proclaim their faith in Jesus, and upon conversion, they would go and be baptized. And they would find a place to do that. And so there's this sense that because Jesus commanded it, we as his followers need to do it. Second reason that we do baptism is because it serves as evidence to your faith in Jesus Christ. When we share our testimonies of how God's grace has saved us, how we were sinners in need of a Savior, we give a sense of testimony to what our understanding of the gospel is. People are convicted of their sins. They turn to Jesus. They place their faith in him. And this then becomes a declaration to the world, to the church, to family, to people around them. And so there's this wonderful story in Acts 8 where there's an Ethiopian eunuch who's reading his Bible and the disciple Philip comes to them and he goes, I don't understand what I'm reading. So they have this conversation and he points to them that the scriptures actually point to Jesus. And in that moment, the Ethiopian eunuch, he places his faith in Christ. And then he sees some water. He sees a river and he says, look, there's water. Why can't we be baptized right now? Philip looks at him and says, because you've placed your faith in Jesus, let's go do that. And so there's this sort of immediate response of recognizing what God has done, and so we do that. And so those are reasons why we're here today to baptize these 11 individuals. Now, I want to be real clear on a couple things just for those of you who may be new to the things of faith or maybe even coming from different, you know, denominational or religious backgrounds. A couple things when it comes to baptism. Number one, baptism doesn't save you. What we're doing here is a symbol of our faith. It's not our faith. And number two is baptism is not necessary for salvation. As you search through your scriptures, you see over and over again that it's God who saves. It's his finished work that saves us, and it's not anything that we have to do in terms of effort or energy to merit his reward. He gives that freely to us. Ephesians 2 reminds us that it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He's the one that we place our faith in. And Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So there's no mention of baptism when it comes to that. Simply, it's an opportunity that we get to be baptized, not something we have to do in order to be saved. And so what I love about baptisms is obviously the individuals that are going to come and share their story, but more than that, I love the fact that it's a corporate experience. We do these things where everybody can participate together. Remember in Galatians 3, the Apostle Paul said, for there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ. And so all of us who have placed our faith in Christ, we share the same Father. We share the same Holy Spirit. We share the same Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this is an opportunity for us to be a part of what's going on here today. As we walk in obedience, you're going to hear testimony, and you're going to recognize what God has been doing. And it's going to remind us of what God has done for us as well. And so we want this to be something in which you are not spectators, right? You are not going to be just kind of sitting here and listening to story after story. There's a part that you have to play. One of this is that these 11 people, we were talking to them earlier before they started, a couple of them are a little nervous getting up in front of all of you, right? They don't do this very often, and so they're going to share their testimony, and they're a wee bit nervous about it, right? And so one of the things that we can do is we can just be a congregation that encourages them, that invites them, that makes them feel at home because this is family. And this is the opportunity to hear them and encourage them. And then the second thing is this. When they go underwater and they come back up, it's signifying this newness to life. That should be something we celebrate. So we're going to encourage you to feel free to go crazy when people come out of the water. Now, I went to the Rose Bowl on Thursday, and I promise you, 92,000 people, they were losing their minds over the Seminoles and Ducks scoring touchdowns and turning the ball over and all of that. How much more should we celebrate eternal life, where people who were dead are now brought to life? That is worth celebrating. So I'm going to encourage you to have the freedom to celebrate that. This service will work like this, is we're gonna have some people come, and they're going to share their testimony, and we're going to baptize them, and then we're going to have an opportunity to read some scripture and be mindful of what the scriptures have to say about baptism. Then we're going to baptize some more people, and then we're going to do some worship together corporately, baptize a few more people, and that will kind of be the flow with it all. So again, we want to encourage you to be a part of all of this, because this is the body of Christ, and this is a celebration for us as well as we enter in. So let's get started. I'm pumped. You don't want to hear me anymore. We want to hear the people whose lives have been transformed by the gospel. So I'm going to encourage those people to kind of get set up. Brad's going to jump in the pool there. Super warm, isn't it, Brad?
It's yes.
Yes.
Remarkably
yes,
warm.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
On a frozen side.
Let me do this. I'm gonna pray here, and then we're gonna launch right into it. Father in heaven, this is a glorious morning, and we're so grateful to be in this place, to be mindful of this command that you've given us to publicly proclaim our faith in Jesus Christ. We're grateful for the gospel that saves, that delivers us from our sinful ways and gives us new life, that makes us righteous even though there's nothing in us that's righteous. And so, God, we want to celebrate that. I'm so thankful for my brothers and sisters who are going to share their testimony right now. Grateful for their lives, for the way that you've saved them and transformed them, and for this opportunity to proclaim to all of us here just what you've been doing. God, we love you. May this time, may this worship, may these stories, may they fill this place with a sense of your Spirit, and may you be honored and glorified as we point people to Jesus, who is the true hero of the narrative, not anything that we've done, but what Christ has done on the cross on our behalf. So we love you and praise you and give this time to you. In Christ's name. Amen.
So good. So good. Boy, we have had a lot of memories here today, a lot of stories I think we're going to talk about for a long, long time. As I wrap things up, I just want to see if I can't frame out our time together and then we'll be dismissed. I don't know what your journey was like in terms of what you began to read when you came to faith, but I came to faith in college and started reading the Gospel of John, and it was fascinating to me as I read through the Gospel of John that the Jesus of the Bible was my kind of dude. Like, I really liked what I was reading. I didn't like always what I saw out in churches or in the community. That was probably me being jaded more than anything, but what I recognized is, biblically speaking, Jesus was a guy who loved shady people, and I thought, well, that's me. And Jesus was a guy who didn't like religious people. And I thought, I don't either. Like, this is fantastic. And what you see in the gospel accounts, in all seriousness, is a Savior that came to seek and save the lost. And the more broken, the more authentic, the more honest, the relationship, or the interaction at least, seemed to be more pleasant. The more, pious, the more clean on the outside, the more religious you looked, he actually had pretty harsh words for those kind of people. And I thought that was fascinating. And what it did for me is just give me hope that the Jesus that we're talking about is a Jesus that loves scandalous people, is a gospel that's a gospel that penetrates dark places, that he didn't just come to find the moral elite. He didn't come to find the best of the best. He came to find the broken, the depressed, the downtrodden, the outcast. And I just thought, wow, I can get fired up about that. And it gave me hope. The second book I started reading was the book of Acts. And I started reading about this thing called the church. Now, like many of you, I had a chip on my shoulder when it came to church. I was just not impressed with church people because it became so much about the institution that as I read the book of Acts and then saw on a Sunday, I saw a disconnect because churches had become institutional. They'd become religious. They'd become shows, performances, religious sort of like dog and pony shows where a smiley pastor and songs that didn't connect. This air of righteousness, self-righteousness. And I struggled with it. And I read the book of Acts and I thought, man, that's exciting. Because it wasn't an institution. It wasn't a religious expression. It was a group of people so changed at a heart level by the message of the gospel that they assembled together to encourage each other and they began to go out and influence their neighborhoods and influence their homes and influence their cities. And you see, like brush fires, this movement beginning, this revolution beginning. And I began to read and read and read and I thought, that is fantastic. How do we do that? Like, how do we become part of a movement that doesn't feel like you're coming and checking some religious box or jumping through some religious hoops? How do we connect to the heart of God in the gospel to reach people for Jesus? And so years ago, we said, we need to start a church, and let's call it The Well. And people said, why The Well? Because we were so moved by the story in John chapter 4 of Jesus interacting with a shady woman. I mean, a woman of less than reputable character. And yet in the moment, he shows her grace. He shows her kindness. He shows her mercy and yet speaks truth. And I said, can we form a community that's authentic, that can stand in baptismal pools like you just saw tonight and say, I've had anxiety. I was suicidal. My life was hitting bottom. I was using. Can we have that kind of authenticity and say, but then Jesus came into my life and he made me new? Can we have a community that doesn't smile on the outside even though we're broken on the inside? Can we have a community so deeply committed to the Word of God that the Word of God literally uncovers the junk in our life, we address it as junk and deal with it instead of just covering it with a Christian bumper sticker and pretending like life is good when it's not? But can we lean into the gospel? And then can we do that in a way that influences our dorm rooms? In our apartment complexes, in our neighborhoods, that recognizes that we don't come to church, we are the church. Can we be that kind of place that literally takes individual lives and just stokes the fires of faith in them, that they go and influence their communities, their spheres of influence, their networks, their place of business, that we could literally change our city. Could we do that? And so I hope what you've seen today is just a slice of encouragement. Because what God is doing today is, I think, a continuation and expression of what God has been doing from the first century as we look at the people of God who come to faith in Jesus, whose lives are literally turned inside out. And you hear story after story of these, even tonight. And I hope you've connected to many of them, by the way. You could do, that's my story. There was a guy this morning, he talked about his drug addiction and alcohol addiction. He'd been sober now for 8 months. Four dudes came up to him after, with tears in their eyes, says, "We need to talk, because I need to get sober." That's what the gospel does. And he points them to Jesus. And I hope you see that. And what I'd like to do as we finish tonight is I'd like to invite up all of those who were baptized here tonight. Just come on stage with us, if you will, please. That'd be great. Wet hair, soggy britches, I get it. Just come on stage. That'd be great. And I'm going to commission these folks. Come on in the light. Good, just rule of thumb. If you're not blinded by those lights, we can't see you. So come on up here. Get in the light there, that'd be great. One of the things you see happen throughout the first century church is this sense of commissioning, where they would literally lay hands on people and commission them and officially send them out. These are folks today who are your peers. I mean, this is their service. And we did the baptism service here so that you could experience them firsthand. And they've posted up. And they've, before all of you, said that they want to follow Jesus. Now, the commissioning for you is to recognize that having now professed your faith in Jesus Christ, the assumption will be that you now walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, that you please Him in all respect, that you bear fruit in every good deed, that you're continually increasing in the knowledge of God, that having received Christ as Lord, you're firmly rooted and established in Him and overflowing with gratitude, that that faith that maybe for some of you had been private, that now you go public. And it doesn't stop here. This isn't just a point in time where you go, boy, that was great that one time when I professed faith. No, that this is a launching point. And that all of us here now are part of a marked moment in your life where you stood before friends and family and you said publicly, "I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." And I pray that from this moment forward, this could be something that you carry with you, and that we together lock arms together. Because did you notice how many of these stories had somebody who entered into their life? It was a life group leader. It was a family member. It was a friend. It was a coworker. Somebody who entered into their life. And you have no idea the seeds that you're planting. No idea the influence you're going to have. And so we're going to send these out like we've sent many of you out before and commission you to walk with Jesus. And I hope, I think one of you said, I can't remember which, talked about sharing your story in a group of strangers. I hope that even tonight, strangers can become closer to friends because we're in this together. We do not assemble in this building called the church. We look around to the men and women next to you. We are the church. And I hope that now you see the opportunity that we have to be baptized into a beautiful family, a body of Christ, to influence our city for Him. So let me pray for you, and we'll commission you out of here. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to pray for these who have professed faith in you. Thank you for what you have already done in their life as they have embraced the gospel, as they have confessed their sin and invited Christ to be their Savior. I pray, Father, that they would walk now from this moment changed, buried and raised to walk now in a newness of life. And we send them as missionaries in our city, as missionaries in our community, God, in every neighborhood that they influence, we send them. And I pray, Father, for them like we would pray for those that we would send to foreign lands, that, God, they would walk with you and serve you and read their Bibles and grow and pray and seek you and share their faith. And that in the process, God, you would win many to yourself, that these would be about helping people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. And so, Father, what a privilege that you are still moving, that the gospel is still the power of God, and that men and women are still coming to faith. So we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him a hand, will you?